treason or plot. You still listened to treason. Please excuse me, but if I agree, as your commander-in-chief, then it no longer becomes treason, but legal state policy. Taking decisions away from your liege lord is treason. Sire, there are too many precedents for deposing a lord. You've done it, Gorodo did it, the Daiko. We've all done that, and worse. A victor never commits treason. You've decided to depose me? I ask for your help in the decision. You're the one person I thought I could trust. By all gods, I only wish to be your most devoted vassal. I'm only a soldier. I wish to do my duty to you. I think only of you. I merit your trust. If it will help, take my head. If it will convince you to fight, I gladly give you my life, my clan's lifeblood, today, in public or private, or whatever way you wish. Isn't that what our friend, General Kiyoshio, did? I'm sorry, but I do not understand why I should permit you to throw away a lifetime of effort. Then you refuse to obey my orders to head the escort that will leave for Osaka the day after tomorrow? A cloud passed over the sun, and both men looked out of the windows. It'll rain again soon, Toranaga said. Yes, there's been too much rain this year, eh? The rains must stop soon, or the harvest'll be ruined. They looked at each other. Well? Anfis said simply, I formally ask you, sire, do you order me to escort you from Edo, the day after tomorrow, to begin the trek to Osaka? As there seems to be advice from all my counselors to the contrary, I'll accept their opinion, and yours, and delay my departure. Hiromatsu was totally unprepared for this. Eh? You won't be leaving? Toranaga laughed, the mask fell off, and he was the old Toranaga again. I never intended to go to Osaka. Why should I be so stupid? What? My agreement at Yokose was nothing more than a trick to gain time, Toranaga said affably. Ishido took the bait. The fool expects me in Osaka within a few weeks. Satake also took that bait. And you and all my valiant, untrusting vassals also took the bait. With no real concession whatsoever, I've gained a month, put Ishido and his filthy allies in turmoil. I hear they're already scrambling for the Kanto. Kiyama's been promised it, as well as Zataki. You never intended to go? Hiromatsu shook his head. Then, as the clarity of the idea suddenly hit him, his face broke into a delighted grin. It's all a ruse? Of course. Listen, everyone had to be taken in, eh? Zataki? Everyone. Even you. Or spies would have told Ishido, and he would have moved against us at once. And no good fortune on earth, or gods in heaven, could have prevented disaster to me. That's true. Ah, Lord, forgive me. I'm so stupid. I deserve to lose my head. So it was all nonsense, always nonsense. But what about General Kiyoshio? He said he was guilty of treason. I don't need treasonous generals, only obedient vassals. But why attack Lord Sudara? Why withdraw your favor from him? Because it pleases me to do so, Toranaga said harshly. Yes, please excuse me. That's your sole privilege. I beg you to forgive me for doubting you. Why should I forgive you for being you, old friend? I needed you to do what you did, and say what you said. Now I need you more than ever. I must have someone I can trust. That's why I'm taking you into my confidence. This has got to be a secret between us. Oh, sire, you make me so happy. Yes, Toranaga said. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. Sire, your commander-in-chief, you alone can neutralize this stupid, brooding mutiny while I'm waiting. I trust you and must trust you. My son can't hold my generals in check, though he'd never show outward joy at the secret, if he knew it. But your face is the gateway to your soul, old friend. Then let me take my life after I've settled the generals. That's no help. You must hold them together pending my pretended departure, eh? You'll just have to guard your face and your sleep like never before. You're the only one in all the world who knows. You're the only one I must trust, eh? Forgive me for my stupidity. I won't fail. Explain to me what I must do. Say to my generals what's true, that you persuaded me to take your advice, which is also theirs, ne? I formally order my departure postponed for 7 days. Later, I'll postpone it again. Sickness this time. You're the only one to know. Then it will be Crimson Sky? Not as originally planned. Crimson Sky was always a last plan, eh? Yes. What about the musket regiment? Could it blast a path through the mountains? Part of the way, but not all the way to Kyoto. Have Zataki assassinated. That might be possible, but Ishido and his allies are still invincible. Toranaga told him the arguments of Omi, Yabu, Igarashi, and Buntaro the day of the earthquake. At that time, I ordered Crimson Sky as another feint to throw Ishido into confusion, and also had the right parts of the discussion whispered into the wrong ears. But the fact is, Ishido's force is still invincible. How can we split them up? What about Kiyama and Onoshi? No, those two are implacably against me. All the Christians will be against me. Except my Christian, and I will soon put him and his ship to very good use. Time is what I need most. I've allies and secret friends throughout the Empire, and if I have time, every day I gain weakens Ishido further. That's my battle plan. Every day of delay is important. Listen, after the rains, Ishido will come against the Kanto. A simultaneous pincer, Ikawa Jikyu spearheading the south, Sataki in the north. We contain Jikyu at Mishima, then fall back to the Hakone Pass and Odawara, where we make our final stand. In the north, we'll hold Sataki fast in the mountains, along the Hoshokaido Road, somewhere near Mikawa. It's true what Omi and Igarashi said. We can hold off the first attack, and there shouldn't be another great invasion. We fight, and we wait behind our mountains. We fight, and delay, and wait. And then when the fruit is ripe for plucking, Crimson Sky. Let that day be soon. Listen, old friend. Only you can hold my generals in check. With time, and the Kanto secure, completely secure, we can weather the first attack, then Ishido's alliances will begin to break up. Once that happens, Yeamon's future is assured, and the Taiko's testament inviolate. You will not take soul power, sire? For the last time, the law may upset reason, but reason may never upset the law, or our whole society will shred like an old tatami. The law may be used to confound reason, reason must certainly not be used to overthrow the law. The Taiko's will is law.
Hiromatsu bowed in acceptance.
Very well, sire. I will never mention it again. Please excuse me. Now.
He let his smile show.
Now what must I do? Pretend that you've persuaded me to delay. Just keep them all in your iron fist. How long must I keep up the pretense?
I don't know.
I don't trust myself, sire. I may make a mistake, not meaning to. I think I can keep the joy off my face for a few days. With your permission, my aches should become so bad that I'll be confined to bed. No visitors, eh?
Good. Do that in 4 days. Let some of the pain show from today on. That won't be difficult, eh?
No, sire.
So sorry. I'm glad the battle begins this year. Next, I may not be able to help. Nonsense. But it will be this year whether I say yes or no. In 16 days, I will leave Edo for Osaka. By that time, you will have given your reluctant approval, and you will lead the march. Only you and I know there will be further delays, and that long before I reach my borders, I'll turn back to Edo. Please forgive me for doubting you. If it wasn't that I must remain alive to help your plans, I could not live with my shame. No need for shame, old friend. If you hadn't been convinced, Ishido and Zataki would have seen through the trick. Oh, by the way, how was Buntaro-san when you saw him? Seething, sir. It will be good to have a battle for him to fight. He suggested removing me as liege lord? If he'd said that to me, I would have removed his head at once. I'll send for you in 3 days. Ask to see me daily, but I'll refuse until then. Yes, sire.
The old general bowed abjectly.
Please forgive this old fool. You've given my life purpose again. Thank you.
He left. Toranaga took out the little slip of paper from his sleeve and reread the message from his mother with enormous satisfaction. With the northern route possibly open and Ishido possibly betrayed there, his odds had enormously improved. He put the message to the flame. The paper curled into ash. Contentedly, he pounded the ash to dust.
Now, who should be the new commander-in-chief?
He asked himself. At noon, Mariko walked across the donjon forecourt, through the silent ranks of brooding guards, and went inside. Toranaga's secretary was waiting for her in one of the anterooms on the ground floor.
So sorry to send for you, Lady Toda, he said listlessly.
It's my pleasure, Kawanabe-san.
Kawanabe was a sharp-featured elderly samurai with a shaven head. Once he had been a Buddhist priest. For years now, he had handled all of Toranaga's correspondence. Normally, he was bright and enthusiastic. Today, like most people in the castle, he was greatly unsettled. He handed her a small scroll.
Here are your travel documents for Osaka, duly signed. You are to leave tomorrow and get there as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Her voice sounded tiny to her.
Lord Toranaga says he may have some private dispatches for you to take to Lady Kiritsubo and Lady Koto. Also for General Lord Ishido and Lady Ochiba. They'll be delivered to you tomorrow at dawn if... So sorry. If they're ready, I'll see they're delivered to you.
Thank you.
From a number of scrolls that were stacked with pedantic neatness on his low desk, Kawanabe selected an official document.
And directed to give you this. It is the increase in your son's fief, as promised by Lord Toranaga. 10,000 koku yearly. It's dated from the last day of last month, and... Well, here it is.
She accepted it, read it, and checked the official chops. Everything was perfect. But it gave her no happiness. Both believed it was an empty paper now. If her son's life was spared, he would become Ronin.
Thank you. Please thank Lord Toranaga for the honor he does us. May I be allowed to see him before I go?
Oh, yes. When you leave here now, you're asked to go to the barbarian ship. You're requested to wait for him there.
I'm to interpret?
He didn't say. I would presume so, Lady Toda.
The secretary squinted at a list in his hand.
Captain Yoshinaka has been ordered to lead your escort to Osaka. If it pleases you.
I would be honored to be in his charge again. Thank you. May I ask how Lord Toranaga is?
He seems well enough, but for an active man like him to coop himself up for days on end. What can I say?
He spread his hands helplessly.
So sorry. At least today he saw Lord Hiromatsu and agreed to a delay. He's also agreed to deal with a few other things. Rice prices must be stabilized now, in case of a bad harvest. But there's so much to do, and... It's just not like him, Lady Toda. These are terrible times, ne? And terrible omens. The soothsayers say the harvest will be ruined this year.
I will not believe them. Until harvest time.
Wise. Very wise. But not many of us will see harvest time. I'm to go with him to Osaka.
Kawanabe shivered and leaned forward nervously.
I heard a rumour that the plague's begun again between Kyoto and Osaka. Smallpox. Is that another heavenly sign that the gods are turning their faces from us?
It's not like you to believe rumours or heavenly signs, Kawanabe-san, or to pass on rumours. You know what Lord Torunaga thinks of that.
I know. So sorry. But, well, no one seems to be normal these days, ne?
Perhaps the rumour's not true. I pray it's not true.
She shook off her foreboding.
Has the new date for the departure been set?
I understood Lord Hiromatsu to say that it was postponed for 7 days. I'm so glad our Commander-in-Chief returned, and so glad he persuaded. I wish the whole departure was put off forever. Better fight here than be dishonored there, eh?
Yes,
she agreed, knowing there was no point any longer in pretending that this was not foremost in everyone's mind.
Now that Lord Hiromatsu's back, perhaps our lord will see that surrender's not the best course.
Lady, for your ears alone. Lord Hiromatsu.
He stopped, looked up, and put a smile on his face. Yabu strode into the room, swords jingling.
Ah, Lord Kashigi Yabu, how nice to see you.
He bowed, and Mariko bowed, and there were pleasantries, and then he said,
Lord Torunaga's expecting you, sir. Please go up at once.
Good. What does he want to see me about?
So sorry, sir. He didn't tell me, only that he wished to see you.
How is he?
Kawanabe hesitated.
No change, sir.
His departure? Has a new date been fixed?
I understand it'll be in 7 days.
Perhaps Lord Hiromatsu will put it off even more, ne?
That would be up to our lord, sir.
Of course.
Yabu walked out.
You were saying about Lord Hiromatsu?
Only for your ears, lady. As Buntaro-san's not here,
the secretary whispered.
When old Iron Fist came from seeing Lord Torunaga, he had to rest for the best part of an hour. He was in very great pain, lady.
Oh, it would be terrible if something happened to him now.
Yes, without him, there'd be a revolt, ne? This delay solves nothing, does it? It's only a truce. The real problem, I'm afraid, since Lord Sudara acted as formal second to General Kiyoshio. Every time Lord Sudara's name has been mentioned, our lord gets very angry. It's only Lord Hiromatsu who's persuaded him to delay, and that's the only thing that...
Tears started running down the secretary's cheeks.
What's happening, lady? He's lost control, ne? No,
she said firmly, without conviction.
I'm sure everything will be all right. Thank you for telling me. I'll try to see Lord Hiromatsu before I leave.
Go with God, lady.
She was startled.
I didn't know you were Christian, Kawanabe-san.
I'm not, lady, but I know it is your custom.
She walked out into the sun, greatly concerned over Hiromatsu, at the same time blessing God that her waiting was over and tomorrow she would escape. She went toward the palanquin and escort waiting for her.
Ah, Lady Toda,
Kyoko said, stepping out of the shadows, intercepting her.
Ah, good morning, Kyoko-san. How nice to see you. I hope you're well,
she said pleasantly, a sudden chill rushing through her.
Not well at all, I'm afraid. So sorry. So very sad. It seems we're not in our lord's favour. Kiku-san and I. Ever since we got here, we've been confined to a filthy third-class hotel. I wouldn't put an eighth-class male courtesan in.
Oh, so sorry. I'm sure there must be some mistake.
Ah, yes, a mistake. I certainly hope so, lady. At long last today I've been given permission to come to the castle. At long last there's an answer to my petition to see the great lord. At long last I'm permitted to bow before the great lord again. Later today.
Kyoko smiled at her crookedly.
I heard you were also coming to see the Lord Secretary, so I thought I'd wait to greet you. I hope you don't mind.
It's a pleasure to see you, Kyoko-san. I would have visited you and Kiku-san, or asked you both to visit me. But unfortunately, that hasn't been possible.
Yes, so sad. These are sad times, difficult for nobles. Difficult for peasants. Poor Kiku-san's quite sick with worry to be out of our lord's favour.
I'm sure she's not, Kyoko-san. He, Lord Taranaga, has many pressing problems, ne?
True, true. Perhaps we could take some cha now, Lady Toda. I would be honoured to be allowed to talk to you for a moment.
Ah, so sorry, but I'm ordered to go on official business. Otherwise, I would have been honoured.
Ah, yes. You've to go to the Anjin-san ship now. Ah, I forgot. So sorry. How is the Anjin-san?
I believe he is well,
Mariko said, furious that Kyoko knew her private business.
I've seen him only once, and then just for a few moments since we arrived.
An interesting man. Yes, very. Sad not to see one's friends, nay?
Both women wore smiles, their voices polite and carefree, both conscious of the impatient samurai watching and listening to them.
I heard the Anjin-san visited his friends, his crew. How did you find them?
He never told me, Kyoko-san. As I said, I only saw him for a moment.
So sorry, but I must go. Sad not to see one's friends. Perhaps I could tell you about them. For instance, that they live in an Eta village.
What?
Yes, it seems his friends asked permission to live there, preferring it to civilized areas. Curious, nay? Not like the Anjin-san, who's different. The rumour is they say it's more like home to them, the Eta village. Curious, nay?
Mariko was remembering how strange the Anjin-san had been on the stairs that day.
That explains it, she thought. Etta! Madonna, poor man! How ashamed he must have been!
I'm sorry, Kyoko-san. What did you say? Just that it's curious the Anjin-san's so different from the others.
What are they like? Have you seen them, the others?
No, lady. I wouldn't go there. What should I have to do with them, or with Etta? I must think of my clients, and my Kiku-san, and my son.
Ah, yes, your son.
Yoko's face saddened under her parasol, but her eyes remained flinty brown like her kimono.
Please excuse me, but I suppose you've no idea why we should be out of favour with Lord Toranaga?
No, I'm sure you're mistaken. The contract was settled, nay, according to the agreement.
Oh, yes, thank you. I've a letter of credit on the Mishima rice merchants, payable on demand. Less the amount we agreed. But money was furthest from my mind. What's money when you've lost the favour of your patron, whoever he or she is, nay?
I'm sure you retain his favour.
Ah, favours. I was worried about your favour too, Lady Toda.
You always have my goodwill and friendship, Kyoko-san. Perhaps we could talk another time. I really must go now. So sorry.
Ah, yes. How kind you are. I'd enjoy that.
Kyoko added in her most honeyed voice as Mariko began to turn away.
But will you have time? You go tomorrow, ne? To Osaka?
Mariko felt a sudden ice barb in her chest as the trap closed.
Is there anything wrong, lady?
No, no, Kyoko-san. Well, during the hour of the dog tonight, would that be convenient?
You're too kind, lady. Oh, yes, as you're going to see our master now, before me, would you intercede for us? We need such a little favour, nay?
I would be glad to.
Mariko thought a moment.
Some favours can be asked, but even so, are not granted.
Kyoko stiffened slightly.
Ah, you've already asked him asked him to favour us?
Of course. Why shouldn't I?
Mariko said carefully.
Isn't Kiku-san a favourite? And aren't you a devoted vassal? Haven't you been granted favours in the past?
My requests are always so little. Everything I said before still applies, lady. Perhaps more so.
About empty-bellied dogs?
About long ears and safe tongues.
Ah, yes. And secrets.
It would be so easy to satisfy me. My lord's favour, and my lady's, is not much to ask, ne?
No, if an opportunity occurs. I can promise nothing.
Until this evening, lady.
They bowed to each other, and no samurai was any the wiser. Mariko got into the palanquin to more bows, hiding the trembles that beset her, and the cortege left. Kyoko stared after her.
You, woman, a young samurai said roughly as he passed. What are you waiting for? Go about your business.
Ha!
Kyoko said disdainfully, to the amusement of others.
Woman, is it? Puppy? If I went about your business, I might have a very hard time finding it, eh? Even though you're not yet man enough to have thatch.
The others laughed. With a toss of her head, she walked on fearlessly.
Hello, Blackthorn said.
Good afternoon, Anjin-san. You look happy.
Thank you. It's the sight of such a lovely lady, ne?
Ah, thank you, Mariko replied. How is your ship?
First class. Would you like to come aboard? I'd like to show you around.
Is that permitted? I was ordered here to meet Lord Torinaga.
Yes, we're all waiting for him now.
Blackthorn turned and spoke to the senior samurai on the wharf.
Captain, I take Lady Toda there. Show ship. When Lord Torinaga arrive, you call, ne?
As you wish, Anjin-san.
Blackthorn led the way off the jetty. Samurai were manning the barriers, and security was tighter than ever, ashore and on deck. First he went to the quarterdeck.
This is mine. All mine, he said with pride.
Are any of your crew here?
No, none. Not today, Mariko-san.
He pointed out everything as quickly as he could, then guided her below.
This is the main cabin.
The off-bay windows overlooked the foreshore. He closed the door. Now they were totally alone.
This is your cabin? She asked.
He shook his head, watching her. She went into his arms. He held her tight.
Oh, how I have missed thee.
And I have missed thee.
There's so much to tell thee, and to ask thee, he said.
I've nothing to tell thee, except that I love thee with all my heart.
She shivered in his arms, trying to throw off her terror that Kyoko or someone would denounce them.
I'm so afraid for thee.
Don't be afraid, Mariko, my darling. Everything's going to be all right.
That's what I tell myself. But today it's impossible to accept karma and the will of God.
You were so distant the last time.
This is Edo, my love, and beyond First Bridge.
It was because of Buntaro-san, wasn't it?
Yes, she said simply. That, and Torinaga's decision to surrender? It's such a dishonorable uselessness. I never thought I'd ever say that out loud, but I have to say it. So sorry.
She nestled closer into the protection of his shoulder.
When he goes to Osaka, you're finished too.
Yes. The Toda clan are too powerful and important. In any event, I would not be left alive.
Then you must come with me. We'll escape.
We'll... So sorry, but there's no escape.
Unless Torunaga allows it, eh?
Why should he allow it?
Quickly, Blackthorn told her what he had said to Torunaga, but not that he had also asked for her.
I know I can force the priests to bring Kiyama Oonoshi to his side, if he'll allow me to take this black ship, he finished excitedly. And I know I can do that.
Yes, she said, glad for the sake of the church that he was hobbled by Torunaga's decision.
Again, she examined the logic of his plan and found it flawless.
It should work, Anjin-san. Now that Harima's hostile, there would be no reason why Torunaga-sama shouldn't order an attack if he were going to war, and not surrendering.
If Lord Kiyama or Lord Onoshi, or both of them, joined him, would that tip the scale toward him?
Yes, she said, with Zateki and time.
She had already explained the strategic importance of Zateki's control of the northern route.
But Zateki's opposed to Torunaga-sama.
Listen, I can strangle the priests. So sorry, but they are my enemy, though they are your priests. I can dominate them on his behalf, on mine too. Will you help me to help him?
She stared up at him.
How?
Help me to persuade him to give me the chance, and persuade him to delay going to Osaka.
There was the sound of horses and voices raised on the jetty. Distracted, they went to the windows. Samurai were pulling aside one of the barriers. Father Alvito spurred forward into the clearing.
What does he want? Blackthorn muttered sourly.
They watched the priest as he dismounted and pulled out a scroll from his sleeve and gave it to the senior samurai. The man read it. Alvito looked up at the ship.
Whatever it is official,
she said in a small voice.
Listen, Mariko-san, I'm not against the church. The church isn't evil. It's the priests. And they're not all bad. Alvito isn't, though he's fanatic. I swear to God I believe the Jesuits will bow to Lord Torunaga if I get their black ship and threaten next year's. Because they've got to have money. Portugal and Spain have got to have money. Torunaga's more important. Will you help me?
Yes. Yes, I'll help you, Anjin-san. But please excuse me. I cannot betray the church.
All I ask is that you talk to Torunaga, or help me to talk to him if you think that's better.
A distant bugle sounded. They looked out of the windows again. Everyone was staring west. The head of a procession of samurai around a curtained litter approached from the direction of the castle. The cabin door opened.
Anjin-san, you will come now, please, the samurai said.
Blackthorn led the way on deck and down to the jetty. His nod to Alvito was coldly polite. The priest was equally glacial. To Mariko, Alvito was kind.
Hello, Mariko-san. How nice to see you.
Thank you, Father, she said, bowing low. May the blessings of God be upon you.
He made the sign of the cross over her.
In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Thank you, Father.
Alvito glanced at Blackthorn.
So, pilot, how is your ship?
I'm sure you already know.
Yes, I know.
Alvito looked Erasmus over, his face taut.
May God curse her and all who sail in her if she's used against faith and Portugal.
Is that why you came here, to spread more venom?
No, pilot,
Alvito said.
I was asked here to meet Lord Torunaga. I find your presence as distasteful as you find mine.
Your presence isn't distasteful, Father. It's just the evil you represent.
Alvito flushed, and Mariko said quickly,
Please, it is bad to quarrel this way in public. I beg you both to be more circumspect. Yes, please excuse me. I apologize, Mariko-san.
Father Alvito turned away and looked at the curtained litter coming through the barrier, Torunaga's pennant fluttering, and uniformed samurai before and after, hemming in a straggly, motley group of samurai. The palanquin stopped, The curtains parted. Yabu stepped out. Everyone was startled. Nonetheless, they bowed. Yabu returned the salutation arrogantly.
"Ah, Anjin-san," Yabu said. "How are you?"
"Good, thank you, sire. And you?"
"Good, thank you. Lord Torunaga's sick. He asked me to come in his place. You understand?"
"Yes, understand," Bagthorn replied, trying to cover his disappointment at Torunaga's non-arrival.
"So sorry, Lord Torunaga's sick."
Yabu shrugged, acknowledged Mariko deferentially, pretended not to notice Alvito, and studied the ship for a moment. His smile was twisted as he turned back to Blackthorn.
"So, des, Anjin-san. Your ship's different from the last time I saw it, ne?" "Yes, the ship's different. You're different. Everything's different. Even our world's different, ne?"
"So sorry. I don't understand, sir. Please excuse me, but your words very fast. As my..." Blackthorn began the stock phrase, but Yabu interrupted gutturally.
"Mariko-san, please translate for me."
She did so. Blackthorn nodded and said slowly,
"Yes, different, Yabu-sama." "Yes, very different. You're no longer barbarian, but samurai. And so is your ship, ne?"
Blackthorn saw the smile on the thick lips, the pugnacious stance, and suddenly he was back at Anjiro. Back on the beach on his knees, croak in the cauldron, Peter Schoen's screams ringing in his ears, the stench of the pit in his nostrils, and his mind was shouting,
"So unnecessary, all that! All the suffering and terror, and Peter Schoen and Spielberger and Matsaika, and the jail and Etta, and trapped, and all your fault!"
"Are you all right, Anjin-san?"
Mariko asked, apprehensive at the look in his eyes.
"What?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm all right."
"What's the matter with him?"
Yabu said. Blackthorn shook his head, trying to clear it and wash the hatred off his face.
"So sorry. Please excuse me. It's nothing. Head bad. No sleep. So sorry."
He stared back into Yabu's eyes, hoping he'd covered his dangerous lapse.
"Sorry, Torunaga-sama sick. Hope no trouble, Yabu-sama." "No, no trouble."
Yabu was thinking,
"Yes, trouble. You're nothing but trouble. And I've had nothing but trouble ever since you and your filthy ship arrived on my shores. Izu gone. My gun's gone. All honor gone. And now my head forfeit because of a coward." "No trouble, Anjin-san," he said so nicely. "Torunaga-sama asked me to hand over your vassals to you, as he promised."
His eyes fell on Alvito.
"So, Tsuku-san, why are you enemy to Torunaga-sama?"
"I'm not, Kashige Yabu-sama."
"You're Christian daimyos, aren't they?"
"Please excuse me, sire, but we are priests only. We're not responsible for the political views of those who worship the true faith. Nor do we exercise control over those daimyos who..."
"The true faith of this land of the gods is Shinto, together with the Tao, the way of Buddha."
Alvito did not answer. Yabu turned contemptuously away and snapped an order. The ragged group of samurai began to line up in front of the ship. Not one was armed. Some had their hands bound. Alvito stepped forward and bowed.
"Perhaps you will excuse me, sire. I was to see Lord Torunaga. As he isn't coming?"
"Lord Torunaga wanted you here to interpret for him with the Anjin-san,"
Yabu interrupted with deliberate bad manners, as Torunaga had told him to do.
"Yes, to interpret as you alone can do so cleverly, speaking directly. And at once, nay? Of course you have no objection to doing for me what Lord Torunaga required before you go."
"No, of course not, sire."
"Good. Mariko-san, Lord Taranaga asks that you see the Anjin-san's responses are equally correctly translated.
Avito reddened, but held on to his temper.
Yes, sir,
Mariko said, hating Yabu. Yabu snapped another order. Two samurai went to the litter and returned with the ship's strongbox, heavy between them.
Tsuku-san, now you will begin. Listen, Anjin-san, firstly, Lord Toranaga's asked me to return this. It's your property, ne? Open it,
he ordered the samurai. The box was brimful with silver coins.
This is as it was taken off the ship. Thank you.
Blackthorn was hardly able to believe his eyes, for this gave him power to buy the very best crew, without promises.
It is to be put in the ship's strong room.
Yes, of course. Yabu waved those samurai aboard. Then to Alvita's growing fury, as he continued with the almost simultaneous translating, Yabu said,
Next, Lord Taranaga says you are free to go, or to stay. When you are in our land, you are samurai, hatamoto, and governed by samurai law. At sea, beyond our shores, you are as you were before you came here, and governed by barbarian laws. You are granted the right for your lifetime to dock at any port in Lord Toranaga's control, without search by port authorities. Last, these 200 men are your vassals. He asked me to formally hand them over, with arms, as he promised.
I can leave when and how I want? Blackthorn asked with disbelief.
Yes, Anjin-san. You can leave as Lord Toranaga has agreed.
Blackthorn stared at Mariko, but she avoided his eyes, so he looked again at Yabu.
Could I leave tomorrow?
Yes, if you want to.
Yabu added,
About these men. They're all Ronin, all from the northern provinces. They've all agreed to swear eternal allegiance to you and your seed. All are good warriors. None has committed a crime that could be proved. All became Ronin because their liege lords were killed, died, or were deposed. Many fought on ships against Wako.
Yabu smiled in his vicious way.
Some may have been Wako. You understand, Wako?
Yes, sire.
Those who are bound are probably bandits or Wako. They came forward as a band and volunteered to serve you fearlessly in return for a pardon for any past crimes. They've sworn to Lord Noboru, who handpicked all these men for you on Lord Toranaga's orders, that they've never committed any crime against Lord Taranaga or any of his samurai. You can accept them individually, or as a group, or refuse them. You understand?
I can refuse any of them.
Why should you do that?
Yabu asked.
Lord Noboru picked them carefully.
Of course. So sorry, Blackthorn told Yabu wearily, conscious of the daimyo's growing ill humor.
I quite understand. But those who are bound, what happens if I refuse them? Their heads will be hacked off, of course. What's that got to do with anything?
Nothing. So sorry.
Follow me.
Yabu stalked over to the litter. Blackthorn glanced at Mariko.
I can leave. You heard it.
Yes.
That means... It's almost like a dream, he said... Anjin-san!
Obediently, Blackthorn hurried over to Yabu. Now the litter served as a dais. A clerk had set up a low table on which were scrolls. A little farther off, samurai guarded a pile of short swords and long swords, spears, shields, axes, bows and arrows that porters were unloading from pack horses. Yabu motioned Blackthorn to sit beside him, Alvito just in front, and Mariko on his other side. The clerk called out names. Each man came forward, bowed with great formality, gave his name and lineage, swore allegiance, signed his scroll, and sealed it with a drop of blood that the clerk ritually pricked from his finger. Each knelt to Blackthorn a final time, then got up and hurried to the armourer. First he was handed a killing sword, then the short one. Each accepted both blades with reverence and examined them meticulously, expressing pride at their quality, and shoved them into his sash with savage glee. Then he was issued other weapons and a war shield. When the men took up their new places, fully armed now, samurai again and no longer ronin, they were stronger and straighter, and looked even more fierce. Last were the 30 bound ronin. Blackthorn insisted on personally cutting the bonds of each. One by one, they swore allegiance as had all the others. "On my honour as a samurai, I swear your enemies are my enemies, and total obedience." After each man had sworn, he collected his weapons. Yabu called out,
"Uraga no Tadashima!"
The man stepped forward. Alvito was heartsick. Uraga, brother Joseph, had been standing unnoticed among the samurai groups nearby. He was unarmed and wore a simple kimono and bamboo hat. Yabu smirked at Alvito's discomposure and turned to Blackthorn.
"Anjin-san, this is Uraga no Tadashima. Samurai, now ronin. You recognize him? Understand? Recognize?"
"Yes, understand. Yes, recognize."
"Good. Once Christian priest, ne?"
"Yes."
"Now not. Understand? Now ronin."
"Understand, Yabu-sama." Yabu watched Alvito. Alvito was staring fixedly at the apostate, who stared back with hatred.
"Ah, Tsuku-san. You recognize him, too?"
"Yes, I recognize him, sir."
"Are you ready to translate again? Or haven't you any stomach for it anymore?"
"Please continue, sire."
"Good."
Yabu waved a hand at Uraga.
"Listen, Anjin-san. Lord Toranaga gives this man to you if you want him. Once he was a Christian priest, a novice priest. Now he's not. Now he's denounced the false foreign god and has reverted to the true faith of Shinto. And..."
He stopped as the father stopped.
"Did you say it exactly, Tsuko-san? True faith of Shinto?"
A priest did not answer. He exhaled and said it exactly, adding,
"That's what he said, Anjin-san. May God forgive him."
Mariko let that pass without comment, hating Yabu even more, promising herself vengeance on him one day soon. Yabu watched them, then he continued.
"So Uraga-san's a Christian that was. Now he's prepared to serve you. He can speak barbarian and the private tongue of the priests, and he was one of the 4 samurai youths sent to your lands. He even met the chief Christian of all the Christians, so they say. But now he hates them all, just like you, eh?"
Yabu was watching Alvito, baiting him, his eyes flicking back and forth to Mariko, who was listening as intently.
"You hate Christians, Anjin-san, eh?"
"Most Catholics are my enemy, yes," he answered, completely aware of Mariko, who was staring stonily into the distance.
"Spain and Portugal are enemies of my country, yes." "Christians are our enemies too. Tsuku-san?"
"No, sire. And Christianity gives you the key to immortal life."
"Does it, Uraga-san?"
Yabu said.
Uraga shook his head. His voice was raw.
"I no longer think so, sire. No."
"Tell the Anjin-san."
"Senor Anjin-san,"
Uraga said, his accent thick, but his Portuguese words correct and easily understandable.
"I do not think this Catholicism is the lock. So sorry, is the key to immortality."
"Yes," Blackthorn said. "I agree."
"Good,"
Yabu continued.
"So Lord Toranaga offers this ronin to you, Anjin-san. He's renegade, but from good samurai family. Uraga swears, if you'll accept him, he'll be your secretary, translator, and do anything you want. You'll have to give him swords, What else, Uraga? Tell him.
Senor, please excuse me. First...
Uraga took off his hat. His hair was a stubble now, his pate shaven in samurai style, but he had no cue yet.
First, I'm shamed my hair is not correct, and I have no cue as a samurai should have. But my hair will grow, and I am not less samurai for that.
He put his hat back on his head. He told Yabu what he had said, and those Ronin who were near and could hear also listened attentively as he continued.
Second, please excuse me greatly, but I cannot use swords, or any weapons. I've never been trained in them. But I will learn, believe me, I will learn. Please excuse my shame. I swear absolute allegiance to you, and beg you to accept me.
Sweat trickled down his face and back. Blackthorn said compassionately,
Shigata ga nai, ne? Ukero anatawa des, Uraga-san.
What does that matter? I accept you, Uraga-san. Uraga bowed, then explained to Yabu what he had said. No one laughed, except Yabu. But his laughter was cut short by the beginning of an altercation between the last two Ronin over the selection of the remaining swords.
You two! Shut up!
He shouted. Both men spun around, and one snarled,
You're not my master. Where are your manners? Say please or shut up yourself.
Instantly, Yabu leaped to his feet and rushed the offending Ronin, his sword on high. Men scattered and the Ronin fled. Near the side of the wharf, the man jerked out his sword and abruptly turned to the attack with a fiendish battle cry. At once, all his friends darted to his rescue, swords ready, and Yabu was trapped. The man charged. Yabu avoided a violent sword thrust, hacked back, and missed as the pack surged forward for the kill. Too late, Toranaga samurai rushed forward, knowing Yabu was a dead man.
Stop!
Blackthorn shouted in Japanese. Everyone froze at the power of his voice.
Go there!
He pointed to where the men had been lined up before.
Now! Order!
For a moment, all the men on the wharf remained motionless. Then they started to move. The spell broke. Yabu darted at the man who had insulted him. The Ronin jumped back, sidestepped, his sword held violently above his head, two-handed, waiting fearlessly for the next attack. His friends hesitated.
Go there! Now! Order!
Reluctantly but obediently, the rest of the men backed out of the way, sheathed their swords. Yabu and the man circled each other slowly.
You! Blackthorn shouted. Stop! Sword down! I order!
The man kept his furious eyes on Yabu, but he heard the order and wet his lips. He feinted left, then right. Yabu retreated, and the man slipped out of his grasp and rushed nearer to Blackthorn and put his sword down in front of him.
I obey, Anjin-san. I didn't attack him!
As Yabu charged, he leaped out of the way and retreated fearlessly. More fleet than Yabu, younger than Yabu, taunting him.
Yabu-san! Blackthorn called out. So sorry! Think mistake, ne? Perhaps...
But Yabu spouted a flood of Japanese and rushed the man, who fled again without fear. Alvita was now coldly amused.
Yabu-san said there's no mistake, Anjin-san. This cabron has to die, he says. No samurai could accept such an insult.
Blackthorn felt all their eyes on him as he desperately tried to decide what to do. He watched Yabu stalk the man. Just to the left, a Toranaga samurai aimed his bow. The only noise was that of the two men panting and running and shouting at one another. The Ronin backed, then turned and ran away, around the clearing, sidestepping, weaving, all the time keeping up a guttural hissing flood of invective.
Alvito said, He's baiting Yabu, Anjin-san. He says, I'm samurai. I don't kill unarmed men like you. You're not a samurai. You're a manure-stinking peasant.
Ah, so that's it. You're not samurai. You're Eta, ne?
Your mother was Eta. Your father was Eta. And...
The Jesuit stopped as Yabu let out a bellow of rage and pointed at one of the men and shouted something.
Yabu says, "You, give him his sword."
The Ronin hesitated and looked at Blackthorn for the order. Yabu turned to Blackthorn and shouted,
"Give him his sword!"
Blackthorn picked up the sword.
"Yabu-san, ask not fight," he said, wishing him dead.
"Please ask not fight. Give him the sword."
An angry murmur went through Blackthorn's men. He held up his hand.
"Silence!"
He looked at his Ronin vassal.
"Come here, please."
The man watched Yabu, feinted left, then right, and each time Yabu hacked at him in wild rage, but the man managed to slip away and raced to Blackthorn. This time Yabu did not follow. He just waited and watched like a mad bull, readying his charge. The man bowed to Blackthorn and took the sword. Then he turned on Yabu and, with a howling battle cry, flung himself to the attack. Swords clashed and clashed again. Now the two men circled in the silence. There was another frantic exchange, the swords singing. Then Yabu stumbled and the Ronin charged in for the easy kill. But Yabu neatly sidestepped and struck. The man's hand, still gripping the sword, was sliced off. For a moment, the Ronin stood there howling, staring at his stumps. Then Yabu hacked off his head. There was silence. Then a roar of applause surrounded Yabu. Yabu slashed once more at the twitching corpse. Then, honor vindicated, he picked up the head by the topknot, spat carefully in the face, and tossed it aside. Quietly, he walked back to Blackthorn and bowed.
"Please excuse my bad manners, Anjin-san. Thank you for giving him his sword," he said, his voice polite, Alvito translating. "I apologize for shouting. Thank you for allowing me to blood my sword honorably."
His eyes dropped to the heirloom Toranaga had given him. Carefully, he examined its edge. It was still perfect. He undid his silk sash to cleanse the blood away.
"Never touch a blade with your fingers, Anjin-san. That will ruin it. A blade must feel only silk, or the body of an enemy."
He stopped and looked up.
"May I politely suggest you allow your vassals to test their blades? It will be a good omen for them."
Blackthorn turned to Uraga.
"Tell them."
When Yabu returned to his house, it was late in the day. Servants took his sweat-soiled clothes and gave him a fresh lounging kimono and put his feet into clean tabi. Yuriko, his wife, was waiting for him in the cool of the veranda with cha and sake, piping hot, the way he liked to drink it.
"Sake, Yabu-san?"
Yuriko was a tall, thin woman with grey-streaked hair. Her dark kimono of poor quality set off her fair skin nicely.
"Thank you, Yuriko-san."
Yabu drank the wine gratefully, enjoying the sweet, harsh rasp as it slid down his parched throat.
"It went well, I hear."
"Yes."
"How impertinent of that Ronin!"
"He served me well, lady. Very well. I feel fine now. I've bloodied Toranaga's sword and made it really mine."
Yabu finished the cup and she refilled it. His hand fondled his sword hilt.
"But you wouldn't have enjoyed the fight. He was a child. He fell into the first trap."
She touched him tenderly.
"I'm glad he did, husband."
"Thank you. But I hardly got up a sweat."
Yabu laughed.
"You should have seen the priest, though. It would have made you warm to see that barbarian sweating. I've never seen him so angry. He was so angry it almost choked him to hold it in. Cannibal. They're all cannibals. Pity there's no way to stamp them out before we depart this earth."
"Do you think the Anjin-san could?"
"He's going to try. With 10 of those ships and 10 of him, I could control the seas from here to Kyushu. With only him, I could hurt Kiyama, Onoshi, and Harima, and smash Jikyu, and keep Izu. We only need a little time, and every daimyo will be fighting his own special enemy. Izu would be safe, and mine again. I don't understand.